And 1480 WABF. And joining me in the studio now is my good buddy, Cliff McCollum.
Always happy to be here.
And your official title is?
Director of Constituent Services for the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation.
Okay, but everyone considers him the concierge of the county.
I've always wanted a theme tune.
You know, you got a theme music now, so yeah.
It's pretty good, good.
It's a lot to live up to, though. That's the only thing.
It is, but you know, it's a lot like less impactful, or I guess less stressful on you than like living up to like Shaft.
You know, the theme
from Shaft. It's very difficult, I would imagine, to be John Shaft. Like I wouldn't want that pressure.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
They say that cat Shaft is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
But I'm talking about Shaft.
Then we can dig it.
Okay.
And this is the serious part of the show.
The serious part of the show, yeah. Okay. So you're in here for business this morning. You're talking about what's going on with the legislature. Are they in session at the moment?
They are. Okay. And a pretty big week this week in the Alabama legislature.
Okay. Now, I heard that one of the bills that I always ask you about is on the table, or they're looking at it about gambling in the state.
It is. In fact, it actually came out of the Senate Tourism Committee this week.
Tourism Committee, okay.
Because gambling falls under the auspices of the Tourism Committee.
Huh, okay.
You know, sometimes with bills and the subject matter therein, there is some interpretation as to what committee may have jurisdiction. Vacillate back and forth between some of these things. Mm-hmm. For example, the medical marijuana bill that passed last year. You would assume, okay, it's a medical marijuana bill, probably needs to go to the health committee, right?
Sure, okay.
Well, it did, but it also went to the judiciary committee.
Well, okay, I can see that.
And so sometimes they have to go to multiple committees. Sometimes you wonder why stuff ends up where it ends up, but it's very much an interpretation of, I guess, leadership on where some of that stuff ends up sometimes. So the gambling ended up in the tourism committee this year, and it kind of makes sense. I mean, it is a tourist draw. It makes sense.
Sure.
So it did pass out of the committee and will now head to the Senate for an eventual floor vote whenever they schedule it to be on there.
Okay.
But it is very similar to legislation that has been moved forward in years past. In fact, I'll pull up because I don't want to try to wing this. I want to make sure I'm getting this absolutely
sure
right.
Your information is accurate.
So with this bill, though, it would create some designated spaces in the state that would be able to open these types of, or have these types of casino level gaming. I'm trying to find the right article here. I'm sorry, I'm vamping and I'm not doing very well at it because my improvisational skills have waned over the years.
Oh, no. Okay.
No, you know, it's one of those things. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's see. Casinos would be located at the site of the four existing dog tracks in Greene, Jefferson, Macon, and Mobile counties.
Okay.
And then the Porch Creek Band of Indians would have a casino at each of the three tribal sites, as well as a new location located either in DeKalb County or Jackson County.
Okay.
And this would allow for it. It is a comprehensive gaming bill, so you would have I believe paper lottery, you'd have slot machines, you'd also be allowed table gaming at some sites.
Okay.
There would be licensing fees for these facilities to be able to have the privilege of doing this kind of gaming.
Well, sure, of course.
And there's probably still going to be debate and discussion about where the revenue sources generated by this would go. And that's been a lot of the battling back and forth over the years, is where does the money that's raised from gaming go?
Well, of course, if it all goes into the general fund, then some of it's all going to wind up in Birmingham and Montgomery. So,
well, not necessarily. And I'll tell you why. And why we're a little bit lucky these days.
Okay.
Because the chairman of the General Fund Budget Committee is Senator Greg Allbritton.
Okay.
Who is a member of our Baldwin County Legislative Delegation.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So it's actually very helpful to have him in our delegation. And since we're picking up a few more members in our delegation with the redistricting, we're getting two more House members as well as another senator coming into Baldwin County. I think that helps us in terms of the representation battle as well as the we need more money because we're a growing area battle. And another way that we've done really well, especially with this Rebuild Alabama money that's okay. dedicated to roads and infrastructure. And Senator Elliott, Chris Elliott, who's our senator for here in Fairhope, sits on that Joint Transportation Committee that has the oversight of that money. And we have gotten more of that money than any other county in the state of Alabama.
Okay.
And we see it each and every day when we're traveling around. All the 181 extension
right.
there to 104. Is it a gigantic pain in the tuchus?
Yes,
to get caught
is.
In traffic there with the light. It is. But, you know, progress, growth, it's going to get done, and it's going to be good. We've got another one that's a little bit of a pain for me, the 13 and 32.
And 32, the roundabout there, which is going to keep the intersection blocked off projected until October. So,
you know what, though? We've got a great Baldwin County Highway Department,
mm-hmm.
and the
well, if they can finish before then, I understand that they will. But they planned in a certain number of rain days like today. They can't do anything.
No, so. and Joey Nunnally, phenomenal county engineer. The man knows what he's doing. He's very good. I think that'll come in. I have faith. I hope that it will come in earlier than expected. Because it has caused a certain amount of chaos, and not just because I take 13 to work every day, and it's, again, a little bit of a pain. But willing to sacrifice temporary ease of travel for long-term growth and infrastructure needs.
Right. Well, and the big suffering going on there is the folks that go to the what is it, the Larry J. Newton School that's right there.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I'm so glad that my fictional children are homeschooled because we don't have to worry about Carline and all that stuff. Eustace just kind of sits there and does his work. He's a very good kid.
Yeah, okay.
My fictional child.
Okay, well, you need to work on your fictional child's social skills, or they'll... It's part of the benefits of being in a group.
Mark, you know me. I have no social skills. If you don't have the skills, how do you teach them to the youth?
Good point. Well, they say that bachelors aren't actually people. They're bears with furniture. So,
you know, with the amount of body hair that I have, you're probably not far off.
That could fit. Okay. Hey, since we're talking about the roads and stuff, I know it's not your department, but do you have any estimate on when 181 will be at least partially completed, when they'll be opening up the other side?
Off the top of my head, I do not.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, I can look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when we... when I head back to the office after we get done today, and I can shoot it to you. You can put it out on the Facebook page.
All right,
everybody.
That sounds wonderful. And that's kind of the thing that you do, is that you get information and give it to other people that need it.
You know, we try. It's something I've had rather a career of, I'd say probably the last 20 years or so, giving information to people between here and then, you know, my journalistic career before that. Another big thing that passed this week, and
okay.
I think a lot of people are going to be really interested in.
All right.
The conceal permitless carry.
Right.
Passed, and let me tell you, this was a very, if you enjoy governmental back and forth drama, which I am a huge enough nerd to enjoy.
Okay.
There's been a battle on this bill, because on one side you had gun rights advocates who think that the permits are an unlawful limitation on the Second Amendment rights that we have as Americans. On the other side, you had namely law enforcement officials and the Alabama Sheriff's Association who said this potentially makes things less safe for not only our officers, but also for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
So there had been some back and forth on this bill. There were amendments added. Things were changed. But after a conference committee was put together yesterday and came up with some compromise amendments, both houses consented and got sent to the governor's desk. She signed it almost immediately.
Hmm.
So
okay.
Starting January 1, Permitless concealed carry is allowed in the state of Alabama. Now, there are some, they added some amendments that are kind of protections for law enforcement officials, and I will gladly read some of those off. If an officer is like approaching the vehicle, you have to tell them that you have a concealed weapon.
Tell them you have
there.
A weapon. Okay.
And if they have a reasonable suspicion that you may be possibly committing a crime or going to commit a crime, they have the ability to like run the gun and like check stuff, which I mean, that's
fair enough.
That's common sense stuff.
Well, I mean, if you pull somebody over in a car, they're going to run the car. So why not run the gun as well? I mean, that's kind of a logical extension.
No, it's a very logical extension. And there will still be permits available because, you know, other states that we have reciprocal permitting with that haven't gone to permitless carry. If you want a permit because you have to travel to, say, Mississippi or Florida.
Okay,
or
sure.
You will still be able to get a permit to be able to do that interstate traveling with your concealed weapon kind of thing.
So locally inside the state lines, it's going to be no big deal. But going across state lines to another state, Mississippi, California, wherever you're going to go, you want to have a permit for it just in case, you know.
Oh, yeah. And most of our sister states that are around us, we already had reciprocal permitting agreements. Some of them have already gone to permitless carry, so you were okay there. But always err on the side of caution. If you know you're going to be traveling somewhere and you tend to carry a concealed weapon, maybe look at their state's permitting and weapons laws just to make sure you don't get yourself in some sort of potential trouble.
Okay, good idea. All right.
You know, just always a
plan ahead.
Good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
So one of the things that's happened since the last time I was here that I think is a really big deal for us here in Baldwin County, and I'll point to Senator Elliott again, the Go Mesa bill that he tried to do last year and was actually successful in passing this year, passed both houses, making sure that our Go Mesa money, which is that oil and gas lease tax money, those funds, stay here in coastal Alabama.
Really?
In Baldwin and Mobile counties, because the money is raised down here, made down here, it should be spent down here for the benefit of these counties.
Okay.
And there was, you know, some opposition to that. There were some folks in other parts of the state that maybe eventually would have tried to make the argument of, well, you know, all of our rivers are connected in Alabama, and if it's supposed to be spent on the water, then, well, we got water here.
Okay.
And
there's an argument being made for that.
There is possibly an argument, but there are other sources of funding that they could go after for that. And we saw it happen with our Restore Act money, our BP oil money back in the day, where it should have come down here, but we got outvoted and outgunned, and a lot of it went to, tell me where the oil hit in Huntsville.
Show me
where that oil spilled in Huntsville.
Show me where.
And not to pick on Huntsville, Mayor Battle, he's a good man. He's a good man. And I don't even think he was necessarily mayor back then.
He wasn't even the mayor back then.
But, like, show me Huntsville. I've got friends there. Show me, Ashley. Show me where the oil spilt up there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's frustrating, but this passed. So this is actually a protection that keeps our money down here. It's the whole fighting for our fair share thing. And this really is our fair share because, I mean, it wouldn't be like, we wouldn't go up to North Alabama and be like, that TVA money, that's power money. We got power down here. We need some of the TVA money. Like, you know, that's generated in that region. That should stay in that region. You would think it would be not difficult to understand that, but other regions of our state sometimes disagree.
Okay, yeah.
But the good thing about our growing population, I know growth has its problems and issues, but the good thing about growing population, more representation down here, the more representation
more
we have, the better chance we get at making sure we can fight and get what we need down here.
Yeah, we're actually becoming a respectable voting bloc down in the area here, so politicians have to pay attention to us. It's no more just about Birmingham, Jefferson, Shelby counties that you have to.
No, we're now the fourth largest county in the state of Alabama. We leapfrogged Montgomery County with this last census. So That's a big deal.
That is a big deal, yeah, because Montgomery County's been the, what, second or third largest for, I don't know, a century?
I mean, a very long time. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the state capital. Its central location is, for a long time, been an asset for it. But as we've seen the last, I'd say, probably 20, 30 years, there's been a lot of migration outside of Montgomery. Lee County, where I'm from, Auburn, Opelika, is also, like, moving on up that way.
Okay.
In fact, it's really about four or five counties in the state of Alabama that had so much exponential growth like we did that are the reason why we didn't lose a congressional seat in this census.
Hmm, okay.
Because there were enough counties, especially in the middle part of the state, that lost a good bit of population.
Okay.
Without some of the counties like us, Shelby, Madison, Lee, if we hadn't seen the growth that we had in those counties, we would have actually lost a congressional seat, and that could mean billions of dollars
billions
in federal
of
money.
Dollars. Yeah, okay.
So we got very lucky there.
Okay.
Trying to think what else. There's so much that goes on when the legislature is in session that sometimes, like, stuff pops up. Sometimes you're like, wait, where did that even come from? It wasn't even on the radar. And in normal years, I love to be able to, like, track stuff and watch the committee hearings and watch the floor, because it's fun to see the debate and hear some of the interesting things that our state legislators come up with when they're debating things. I wish there was a way to record the House floor video, because when they were talking about the medical marijuana thing, there was a representative from the northern part of the state that got to the microphone and she said, well, several of you are concerned about how this medical marijuana is going to get on the street and it's going to, you know, be recreationally used. Well, I called the weed man and I talked to the weed man, and the weed man said y'all ain't going to mess with his business. So y'all don't need to be worried about that. Just the weed man said y'all can go ahead and vote for it. And I'm sitting at my laptop, and I'm just like, is this real life?
Did this really happen?
But the most famous example of that, and I mean, number one of all time, when the Free the Hops bill was going through the legislature about a decade ago.
Free the Hops bill.
Allowing homebrew. And actually, it paved the way to be able to open breweries in the state of Alabama, like our beloved Fairhope Brewery.
Okay.
There was a gentleman, actually, I believe the longest serving member of the Alabama House in Alabama history, Alvin Holmes of Montgomery. And Representative Holmes was considered the legislation a bit dubious, and so he gets up to the microphone, and there's YouTube video of this that if you just Google what's wrong with the beer we got, because Representative Holmes gets up to the mic and goes, now what's wrong with the beer we got? The beer we got drank pretty good, don't it? I mean, we got Budweiser, Coors, Miller beer, and just proceeds to start, like, listing beers. What's wrong with the beer we got? Like, he did not see why people needed to be able to, like, make beer at home and, like, give it to people. And so he goes into this kind of very long and interesting tirade about what's wrong with the beer we got. And to be fair, it's a valid question. What is wrong with the beer we got?
Okay.
The beer we got does drink pretty good. But it ended up passing. In fact, actually, the sponsor of that bill was Mac McCutcheon, who then was a member of House leadership, is the current Speaker of the Alabama House, who after this year is retiring and will be leaving the legislature. So if you have time, I don't do Alvin Holmes justice. You really got to hear it. Google Alabama, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Okay.
You will find it. You will thank me.
Okay.
So I love to watch the proceedings because, again, you never know what's going to happen in any of these hearings or anything. But really, since the pandemic, we have had so much constituent work coming our way.
Okay.
That it is sometimes difficult for me to be able to take the time to sit there and try to listen and do all that, because folks need help. And
oh, absolutely.
The priority for our office, and especially my job being the director of constituent service, it's not to sit and listen to what's going on, as fun as it is. It's to try to help people. I mean, I had a couple come in this week having issues with their green card renewal.
Okay.
Now, that's not a state issue, but we were able to connect them to Congressman Carl's office, who, I mean, they were Johnny on the spot, have already reached out, called, done this. We've had issues with Social Security. Even if it's not necessarily something that our state legislative delegation has purview over, if it's a municipal issue or a county issue or even a federal issue, reach out to us. We're here to help. And if I can't directly help you, I'll tell you, but I'll also try to connect you to the right person who can help you. And we have some great folks across all the different levels of government that we can reach out to and help with. Shannon Spivey, who works for Baldwin County, she's the customer service relations man. I don't know her exact title, but she's kind of the me of the county.
Okay.
And that there's a call center with the county that you can call, and if you've got a question or a problem or an issue, there are people there to answer the phone who can help direct you to the right department that you need. It's a very great service that not a lot of people know about or take advantage of. So go to the Baldwin County website. Just type Shannon Spivey into the search thing. It'll pull up the contact info for that department, which I don't remember off the top of my head. But mm-hmm. Or you can just call me, 251-300-0974. That's the cell phone number. I almost always have the bat phone on me, and if I am awake, I will answer it, try to help you. And if I'm not awake, I will see that you called when I wake up. And okay. even if it's on the weekend, I'll try to get back to you.
You can call me at 2:00 in the morning. I won't answer, but you can call me.
Look, when I fall asleep, it's almost comatose. Like, you're wondering, it's like a Sonny Von Bulow situation. Okay. Is he going to wake up? We don't know.
Okay.
But if I am eyes open and awake, I will do my level best to get to the phone and find out what's going on and see what we can do to help you, because I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it freaks people out when I say that, but I do actually mean it. One of the things I genuinely enjoy about this job, uh-huh. and probably the main thing I enjoy about this job, is getting to help people and getting to use the powers of government to help people. Because I think a lot of people have a very negative view of government sometimes and bureaucracy.
I can't imagine why.
Yes, I know, shocking. But to be able to get them the help that they need by using that bureaucracy, figuring out a way around some mm-hmm. of the stumbling blocks or hurdles, it's getting to solve a very weird and sometimes frustrating puzzle each and every day. But at the end of the day, we do our best, and we are able to help a lot of people. And I can hang my hat up on at the end of the day on that. Every day might not be perfect, but if we can help at least just one person get what they need, that's a good day.
Well, yeah, and two of the rules that I have just in my own personal life is, if you don't know how to do something, ask somebody who does. And that's where you come in there.
You know, it falls under the, if you're an Andy Griffith fan, the call the man, ain't be doctrine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, don't try to do this yourself. Don't call the man, ain't be.
Mm-hmm.
Call the man.
And my other one of my other philosophies is, you know what? They're going to give that money to somebody. They may as well give it to you. So.
In my family, which was taught to us by our dear friend Miss Ruth Beasley, if it's free, it's me.
Okay. All right, you going to stick around with us?
I will be able to stay for some swap shop, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, well, we're going to play a quick song, and then we've got to do the funeral report and more. But in the meantime, stick around. Right now, we got some Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell with Ain't No Mountain High Enough.